Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Lord Brahma thought, whatever boys and calves there were in Gokula, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency, and to this very day they have not yet risen again. Purport. For 1 year, Lord Brahma kept the cows and boys lying down in a cave by his mystic power. Therefore, when Brahma saw Lord Krishna still playing with all the cows and calves, he began trying to reason about what was happening. What is this? He thought. Maybe I took those calves and cowherd boys away, but now they have been taken from that cave. Is this what has happened? Has Krishna brought them back here? Then, however, Lord Brahma saw that the cows and boys he had taken were still in the same mystic maya into which he had put them. Thus he concluded that the cows and cowherd boys now playing with Krishna were different from the ones in the cave. He could understand that although the original cows and boys were still in the cave where he had put them, Krishna had expanded himself, and so the present demonstration of cows and boys consisted of expansions of Krishna. They had the same features, the same mentality, and the same intentions, but they were all Krishna. Om Adnanti Mirandasya Naranjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So I seek blessings from Srinivasa Vaishnavas to be able to speak some words. There was a wonderful class given by Tattvavid Prabhu yesterday. I was watching online, and I might be expanding on some of the points he was mentioning. So this is a very, very beautiful chapter. It begins by the question from Parikshit Maharaj. How is it that the cowherd boys who saw the pastime of killing of a gasur only happened to discuss it a year after? So what happened between the killing of a gasur and the 1 year that it took for them to discuss the pastimes? Where is that missing year? And Shukdev Goswami responds, this is a great secret, Guhyam. And then he says, but a disciple who is fully surrendered deserves to know the secret. And hence I shall reveal the secret to you. And actually in this chapter there are many mystical things. We see that In fact, not every acharya has even commented on these chapters. So we'll come to that later. But the Gaudiya acharyas who have commented, and the Nimbarka Sampradaya acharyas who have commented, they have given very exhaustive, detailed commentaries on pretty much every verse of this chapter and the previous and the next chapter. Because chapter 12, 13 and 14 are considered by the Ramanuja Sri Sampradaya, the Vallabha or Vishnu Swami Sampradaya and the Madhva or Brahma Sampradaya, they consider these three chapters as Prakshipta Trai Adhyaya. Prakshipta means interpolations. These chapters are not the original chapters of Bhagavatam, they think. So we'll see why or how the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, headed by Srila Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, establish conclusively that these three chapters are indeed the, you know, part of the original work of Srila Vyasadeva. But before we go into that, I'd like to mention that this is also a very beautiful and interesting chapter, but it's got a very personal touch of Srila Prabhupada. In one of the purports towards the end, Prabhupada talks about how death doesn't mean one is gone forever. The purpose of this life is to unite with Krishna. And it was this very chapter, which was the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada wrote his purports on in Vrindavan. So this is the last chapter, which ends with these are Bhaktivedanta purports. And the future chapters are written by or translated by his disciples. So the verse says, Yavanto Gokule Balaha. Yavantaha, as many, Yavantaha Gokule Bala, as many cowherd boys were there in Gokula, they had all come out. Krishna had woken up in the morning, early morning, and as it was customary, he would blow his bugle, and that would alert all the other boys, and they would all come out. Krishna's age was, how old was Krishna during this pastime? Kaumaravastha. He was just entering Pauganda. Kaumara is 5, up to 5. Pauganda is 6 to 10. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the classical Sanskrit is they think it's 6 to 15. But Bhagavatam says 6 to 10. So Krishna was just 5 years old. And he had been put under training by his uncle Upananda. So his uncle Upananda had convinced his father, Nanda Maharaj, please allow Krishna to tend the calves. That would be training for him so that he can grow up and then tend the cows. So with his calves and the calves of all his friends, they would go deep into the forest and they would let the calves feed the soft grass and they would play. And then in the evening they would return. During midday they would have prasadam. And in the previous chapter we saw that how Agasura was sent by Kamsa. And Agasura was killed by Krishna. So that was in the previous chapter. In this chapter, Brahma is bewildered. And it says here, Savatsaha sarva evahi maya shaye shayana me. Brahma is thinking that I have put all these children to sleep. How have I put everyone to sleep? Maya, ashaye, they have taken shelter of whose maya? My maya. Brahma is thinking that they have taken shelter of shayana me. Me means my. Ultimately, by the power of my maya, my mystic potency, I have been able to put these children to sleep. Na adhyapi, not even until now, Punar uttitha means they have not woken up yet. And yet when I see Krishna again with the cowherd boys, it seems that they have come back. How has that happened? So this is that verse that signifies ascharya. Ascharya meaning astonishment. And commenting on this verse, Sridhar Swami, he comments on two specific words only. And the other Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakri Thakur, Jiva Goswami and others, they follow suit. So the words that he comments on, the first word he says is that Yavanto Gokule Bala Savatsa Sarva Evahi is Vyatarkayat. Vyatarkayat means to use one's intelligence to speculate. Brahma speculated. What was his speculation? Are these the same? And what was the greater speculation? The greater speculation was, is Krishna really having the power to, you know, get out of this situation? So let's test Krishna, let's see his real power. Does this power match mine? So that was the speculation. And the other word that Sridhar Swami comments on is Maya Shaye Shayana Me Man Mayat Alpe. It is only because of my powers that I am able to control these children. And it is only because of my powers that, you know, these children have been put to sleep. So here is a question. The question is, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that my devotees never perish. And my devotees can never be controlled by anyone externally. So how is it that Brahma, who is Maya, he had some Maya. How many Mayas are there? According to the Bhagavatam, this chapter explains how many different kinds of Mayas are there. Or who can create Maya, as in have Maya on others. Illusion, power of illusion. So here it says there are five entities who can have power of illusion. There is Nari Maya, which means Maya of a human being. The Rishis, they can create illusions. Even mundane magicians can sometimes create illusions. Then there is Devi Maya. The Devatas can create illusion. Then there is Asuri Maya. The Asuras can create illusion. And then there is Krishna's Maya. And Krishna's Maya is of two types, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Correct? The Yoga Maya is that which covers, who does Yoga Maya cover? Devotees? What about Krishna? Does Yogamaya cover Krishna? Yes. Does Yogamaya also cover Balaram? Yes. And Mahamaya covers us. Yes. The living entities. Absolutely. So here, it is said that he was thinking that it was my Maya. But is it possible for Brahma, who is a living entity, his Maya, to cover the pure devotees, the Nitya Siddha, Bhakta, that the gopas and the cows were? Could the Mahamaya of Brahma cover? Because Brahma is playing within the realm of Mahamaya. So even a human being, even a normal magician is creating some magic. He's still playing within the realms of material energy. He's not got spiritual energy. So how is it that Brahma actually, this verse says, Yavanto Gokule Bala Savatsa Sarva Evahi Maya Shaye Shayaname. By my Maya, I put them to sleep. So how could he even put pure devotees to sleep? Could he not? There's no question he could. So what really happened? Krishna made him think that he put them in Maya, under his Maya's influence. Yes, Govind Prabhu.
Krishna made him think that
You saying something? You saying the same? Yeah. Maya Arbhagasya, yes, there's a previous verse which says, he created illusory set. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very nice commentary on this. He says, you have to follow through, otherwise it's easy to miss. He says that Brahma, when he saw that the cowherd boys were with Krishna, he was affected by Maya, number one. But which Maya was he affected by? Mahamaya or Yogamaya? Mahamaya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in fact, in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. In that he says that Brahma was covered by the Yogamaya. In that commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti says he was covered by Yogamaya. The reason is this, because in Bhagavatam there cannot be any opposite conclusions. So if you see the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, just before the four Chatushloki verses are revealed, Krishna is telling Brahma, you will not be bewildered by my Maya. So which Maya is he referring to? The Mahamaya. It does not exclude him from being bewildered by the Yogamaya, potency of the Lord. So he is, in fact, bewildered by the Yogamaya potency of the Lord. And when he steals the cowherd boys, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna immediately at that moment produces cowherd boys made of his external energy, which is what Brahma steals. And simultaneously, using his Yogamaya, he makes his friends disappear. So Brahma thinks it is he who has made them disappear. Are you following? So the cowherd boys are there. Krishna replicates them into two forms. He replicates them into the Mahamaya form, and he retains the Yogamaya, the original form, which is stolen away by his Yogamaya. The replicated Mahamaya form are stolen away by Brahma, and Brahma thinks, I've actually influenced these children. And in fact, it is that what gives Brahma greater confidence that Krishna must ultimately be not so extraordinary. Yeah. So, simultaneously, the Mahamaya makes the children disappear. And when they come back, Yogamaya makes the children disappear, and it's the Yogamaya of the Lord that brings the children back. So you see, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is very clear in the fact that Brahma could not have even touched these pure devotees. So, in the previous chapter, we saw Aghasur, and this morning we heard the wonderful bhajan Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa by Bhaktivinod Thakur, the power of the holy name. And Bhaktivinod Thakur has given, it just reminds me, Bhaktivinod Thakur has given wonderful commentary on all the demons in Vrindavan, including Aghasura. In his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he speaks about Aghasura, well, all the demons from Putna onwards, but especially Aghasura. And also, although Brahma is not a demon, Brahma Vimohana Leela is also considered to be signifying one of the anarthas. So these demons, they signify anartha. So what anartha does Aghasura signify? Envy. So what does one do when one is really envious, to, you know, like really hardcore envious? One wants to actually destroy the other person. So Aghasura signifies cruelty. And in the previous chapter, we see that Aghasura actually, you know, when somebody dies, traditionally, you are supposed to offer pindadana. Pindadana is you make a rice cake and you offer it along with, it is said, pindodaka samskara, which means offering a rice cake and water. Now, Agassur had a different idea. He said, so generally the pinda is supposed to go to the deceased person, to the preta, and the preta is supposed to sustain his, on his journey to Yamaloka, he's supposed to sustain himself on that rice cake and water. That's the whole idea behind offering the pindadana. But Agassura, he had death in his family. Two deaths, recent deaths. Who were they? Putana and Bakasura. Because Putana's another name is Baki. You know, Vidura in third canto, he says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. Beautiful verse. Bakiyam, Baki. Putana's another name is Baki because she is very close to Bakasura. So, Putana was killed, Bakasura was killed. So Agassura thought, my brother and sister have been killed. Now I shall kill Krishna, make mincemeat out of him, and offer that as pinda to my deceased brother and sister. So when one goes after someone to the point that they want to destroy the other person, that level of cruelty is signified by Agassura. This Agassura also actually was previously a personality by the name Aga. He was son of Shankarachuda. And he once goes to a forest where Ashtavakra is performing his meditation. Ashtavakra is, Vakra means crooked, bending. Ashta means in eight places. He was bent in eight places. So this ancient rishi was walking in a very funny manner. And this Aga, young boy, he made fun of Ashtavakra and he said, do you know how to walk straight? Can you show me how to walk straight? You know, Ashtavakra obviously felt offended and he said, well, I curse you to become ugly like a python and to always walk crooked. You'll never be able to walk straight. Do snakes walk straight in a straight line? So hence he became Agassura. So this Agassura was killed by Krishna and he signifies cruelty. Now what does Brahma Vimohana Leela, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, signify? Empirical scholasticism and? That is correct. And? What are the two processes that do not go along well with bhakti? Jnana and karma. So it is the endeavors of karma and endeavors of jnana that are signified by Brahma Vimohana Leela. So the question may arise, how? How is jnana and karma signified by Brahma Vimohana Leela? Anyone? Huh? He's measuring Krishna. Very good, yes. So this verse itself shows how he is trying to figure out Krishna. So one of the quality of a jnani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is he speculates. Speculates. So you know, we also, why did Brahma speculate? He speculated because he couldn't figure out how Krishna can act in such an ordinary manner. Like you said, Maya Arbhakasya. Arbhaka is a little child. Maya means he must be an illusory person. So, how can Krishna act like an ordinary child? This was his speculation. So jnana is signified because of that. And karma is signified because one who follows the path of karma is ultimately following the path of exploitation of matter. And the mentality of one who follows the path of karma is twofold. One, that what he does has to be done perfectly. For example, if you're doing yajna, you are offering to the devas, you have to be very, you know, there are 16 things that have to be considered. Place, time, patrata, the yajaman, the havi, the offerings, everything has to be perfect. And what to speak of the mantras, you know. You say, Om Indraya Swaha, this is to Indra. Idam Indraya, Idam Namama, this is Indra's, not mine. You know, you have to be very perfect. So there is this mentality that things have to do done in a certain to be done in a certain fashion, and you are better than the others. You have to be higher than the others, because the whole goal of Karmakanda is to ascend to higher planetary system. And it is the same mentality of me being better than Krishna that is demonstrated by Brahma. So his speculation is a tinge of jnana, and his mentality to be better than Krishna. And in fact, in verse number 15 of this chapter, it is said, Ambho Janma Jani. This Brahma, he was born from Ambho. From the Ambho Janma means the lotus, from the lotus, that which is born in water. Ambho Janma Jani. He is born from that which is born in water, which is lotus. And what kind of lotus? Not an ordinary lotus. He is born from the navel of the Lord. Tadantar Gato Mayar Bhakasye Shituhu. And he wanted to see what this Mayavi child is, what this little boy is. You know, what's his real power? Drashtum manju mahitvam anyadapi. I want to see how powerful is he. What is the limit of his powers? Tadvastan vatsan ito vatsapan. He stole the vatsa and the, so he stole the calves and the vatsapa. Vatsapa is the coward boys. And Nitvanyatra Kurudvaha Antar Dadhat Khe Avasthito Yahapura Drishtva Ghasura Mokshanam Drishtva Aghasura Mokshanam. So he was questioning, he was speculating, how is it that Aghasura could attain the supreme position, Sarupya Mukti? How is it possible? It's not possible. Prabhavataha Praptaha Param Vismayan. So he was speculating because he could not agree that a demon can attain the supreme position. In fact, this is the reason why the Tattvavadis, they reject these three chapters. So Vijayadvaja Acharya from the Madhva Sampradaya, he has restrained from commenting on these three chapters, chapter 11, 12 and 13. 11th chapter, he doesn't accept that Aghasura could have attained Sarupya Mukti. So he doesn't comment on the whole chapter. Madhvacharya doesn't comment either. Madhvacharya anyway hasn't commented on Bhagavatam. But he has commented in summary in his Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnaya. In that also he skips these three chapters. Because according to the Madhva Sampradaya, what is the destination of demons? They must go to hell. There is no scope of them. So what happened to Kamsa, according to Madhvacharya? He went to hell. And so did Putana, and so did... But then, hang on, you know, if you look at the 10th canto, 6th chapter, it says, Putana attained Janani Gati. Janani Gati means the position of a mother or a nurse. So how do you explain that Putana... Actually, there are 6 verses there which explain how Putana attained Janani Gati. She became a nurse. She was raised to the position of a nurse. So what is the solution? How do you explain that? So most of the Madhava Sampradaya commentators, they reject those six verses as interpolation. And those who don't, like Vijayadvaja, he has used great, and actually I have it here, but he's used great Sanskrit grammatical rules from Ashtadhyayi, Panini's Ashtadhyayi, to prove that actually Janani Gati, the word itself, doesn't mean position of mother, but it means hell. So he's actually proved it through grammatical rules. Now, Madhvas are not the only ones. The Ramanuji Sampradaya also, Sri Sampradaya, they reject these three chapters. And the reason why they reject these three chapters is because they think, how could Krishna have bewildered a pure devotee like Brahma? How is that possible? Krishna would never put Brahma in that bewilderment. But the fact is, we see over and over again, Krishna puts so many of his devotees under illusion. So, Veer Raghavacharya, who is the commentator of the Sri Sampradaya, he has indeed commented on this, but he has, right at the beginning, he says, Traya Dhyayaha Prakshiptapi. These, I'm commenting on, but these are interpolations. But I'm commenting. So why am I commenting? Why am I commenting on these three chapters if these are interpolations? He says, I'm commenting because the previous commentators in my sampradaya, some of them have commented. So I'll continue the, you know, I'll follow the follow suit. But actually these are interpolations. And then Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya and his followers also reject these three chapters. And their rejections are based on many things. For example, if you look at the 10th canto, 11th chapter, verse 59, which is just before the 12th chapter, the last verse of the 11th chapter is exactly the same as the last verse of the 14th chapter. So in their mind, 12, 13 and 14 are interpolations because the last verse of the 11th is the same as the last verse of the 14th. And they also say something else, which is quite interesting. They say, how is it possible that Krishna would assume the form of the gopas and drink the milk of the cows? And as a 5-year-old child, Krishna was still being fed by his mother, Yashoda. So how is it possible that he would have had the milk of the gopis and considered the gopas to be his father, have had that paternal relationship, and then in the future he's having Rasa Leela with the same gopis? That is Rasa Bhas. It cannot be. He could not have been treating them as mother and then again having Rasa Leela with them. And hence these are rejected, these three, because these don't fit. And then they also give some other technical reasons. So we see these three major sampradayas, they have rejected these three chapters. Now the Nimbarka Sampradaya, Shukdev Acharya of Nimbarka Sampradaya, he doesn't reject these three chapters. He comments on them. But the most beautiful commentaries and the setting of the position of what these three chapters are is done by Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha. And Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, where he answers all of these accusations. First of all, he says, well, the Tattvavadis, they think that Agasur could not have achieved liberation, but that's just not true, because so many others have attained liberation. And then he cites examples, Kamsa and others. And they can't be rejecting all the other places. It's impossible. Also, he says how the gopis who actually fed Krishna their milk and the gopas who actually treated Krishna as their son while Krishna assumed the position of their children, were different from the Savayaska Gopi, the same aged gopis. Krishna was 5. So it was the same aged gopis that actually participated in the Rasalila. So there's no disagreement there. And Jiva Goswami also says, well, if you consider these chapters to be prakshipta, interpolated, how would you explain the established places of pilgrimage? So, you know, everyone's been to Vrindavan, yeah? If you go to Vrindavan, and then from Vrindavan, if you go to Govardhan, these are beautiful places. If you go to Govardhan, you usually take the AH1 highway, and then you bypass the highway, go through the bypass, through Chatikara, and then go straight, and you reach Kusum Sarovar. So that's how you go Vrindavan, then there's a highway going this way. You cross it over on the other side, Chatikara is here, and you keep going, and then you reach Govardhan. So instead of going that way to Govardhan, if you go right 3 kilometers or so, you reach a village which is called Jaitgaon. Jaitgaon, the reason it's called Jaitgaon is, you'll see in chapter 12 it is said that when Krishna killed Aghasura, the demigods and all of his cowherd boys, they start saying, Jai, Jai. And it was at that place, in that village, that the Jai Jaikar happened. And hence the village is known as Jaitgaon. And it is that village, that place where Brahma apparently stole the cowherd boys. And when they came back, not far away from that village is another village. You could literally walk there. It's the village's name is Ajaygaon. Ajay means in Braj Bhasha, actually it's very similar to Hindi, some differences. So they say there is a sentence when the gopas, the cowherd boys, they came back after a year. They said, Agasura Mario Kanane, ye baat aajai bhai. Aajai bhai means the killing of Agasura has happened today only. Aajai means today itself. And hence the village is called Aajai because it is that place where he said that, the gopas said that, this pastime has happened just today. So you have these. And then if you go further up and you turn right, there is a village called Pasoli Gaon. These are beautiful. And actually, even before you go to Pasoli, there is a Chandra Sarovar and Chatumuha. That's a beautiful deity of Brahmaji. Brahmaji's deities are only 2 places. Proper temple. One is Pushkara in Rajasthan. Another is Chatumuha. Chatumuha means in Braj Bhasha, the 4-faced one. So it is that place where Brahmaji, the next chapter, chapter 14, talks about how Brahmaji was repentant and Brahma comes and prays to the Lord. It is at that place in Chatumuha where Brahma is, you know, being repentant. And it is near Chandra Sarovar. Chandra Sarovar is the place where in Satvata Kalpa, the first Kalpa, Lord Krishna performed the pastime by making the moon stay in the sky for 6 months. So much so that the moon at the end melted by witnessing the Rasalila and forms the Chandra Sarovar. It's a beautiful place. And it is that Chandra Sarovar which Brahma takes bath in, and then Brahmaji sits near where there is Chatumuha, the temple, and he pleases Lord Krishna. And if you go further, the Pasoli Gaon, it is actually a mispronunciation of Sapoli. Sapoli means sarp, means a snake, Aghasur. That is where Aghasur was killed, in Pasoli Gaon. So how come you have all these places? Jiva Goswami is actually reasoning. In fact, in his commentary to the 10th canto, chapter 13, Jiva Goswami mentions in his commentary about Chatikara and other places. He says, how come these places exist? If we were to think that these are interpolations, these places have their, every place of pilgrimage have their Sthala Purana. Means the place of pilgrimage itself has the pastime in greater detail than covered in the scriptures. So how is that possible? Jiva Goswami reasons that these places exist. And we will see in the next chapter, and even in fact end of this chapter, we'll see, I think 57, verse number 57 or so. Brahmaji says that, I would like to be born as, you know, somewhere in Braja. I would like to be born somewhere in Braja such that your devotees always trample upon me. I constantly get the dust of their lotus feet. So does anyone know where Brahmaji is today in Braja? Yes. Huh? All the hills. Yeah, which hill? Yes, you're right. Not Govardhan. But Nandagaon, no. Close. Huh? Kamyavan, no. What's close to Nandagaon? Yes, Vilasgarh. But Vilasgarh is just one head. So there are four heads. So that is Barsana. Radharani's village is four heads of Brahma. So if you go to Shriji Mandir, if you visit Barsana ever, if you go up the you know, hundreds of stairs, the first Mandir on the top is the Shriji Mandir, Ladli Lalji Mandir. And that Shriji Mandir is on top of a mountain which is called Bhangad. This Bhangad is one head of Brahma. You go further to the left, you have the Purani Rajasthani Haveli and you have the deities there. That is Vilasgarh. Then you go further, you have Morpukhur, and across you see is Dhanghati. That is Dhangarh, that is the third head of Brahma. And you come down again and go across, in the front is where Radharani, she would do her Manalila, that is Mangarh. That is the fourth head of Brahma. So four heads of Brahma. Brahma permanently resides in Braj, in Barsana. And Padma Puran and Varaha Puran has said how Brahma attained that position. And Jiva Goswami quotes the other Purana saying, in Padma Puran also Brahma Vimohan Leela is mentioned. In Brahma Vaivarta also Brahma Vimohan Leela is mentioned. So how is it that if you reject Bhagavatam, will you also then reject those Puranas, descriptions? So Jiva Goswami establishes through all of these arguments, and actually many more arguments, that these three are not prakshipta. Yeah. And Brahmaji's bewilderment and apradh, was Brahmaji an apradhi or not? I think last class there was this discussion. Did he commit apradh or not? What is the answer? What is the conclusive answer according to Gaudiya opinion? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, Prabhupada in Krishna book, chapter 14 of Krishna book, he says, Brahma was an offender. And in fact, Mahaprabhu confirms that in Adi Leela, second chapter, verse 31, he says, Shishu Vatsa Hari Brahma Kori Aparad. Shishu Vatsa Hari Brahma Kori Aparad. Brahma Aparad Kori. He actually did an aparad, offense of disturbing the pastime of the Lord. Aparad Shamaite Mageno Prasad. And then, to patch up, he begged forgiveness. So Gaudiya opinion is very clear. And this is corroborated by Jiva Goswami in his commentary and by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Brahma indeed became an aparadhi. But what does this tell us? It tells us that we can never understand Krishna's dealings with his devotees. You know, we have a wonderful temple and we have different devotees doing different services. Some may be a temple commander, another may be service leader, somebody may be in the management, somebody may be a trustee, and you know, all different services. And we might think, oh, we disagree with this person. How is Krishna even tolerating it? The fact is, we are not doubting that devotee. The acharyas explain, by making such statements, we are doubting Krishna directly. Because we don't understand what is Krishna's interaction with his devotees. Just like Brahma, even Brahma could be bewildered, what to speak of all of us. Hence, one should guard against the aparadha. Now, the interesting bit is, also, although it was an aparadha on Brahma's part, Krishna did not accept that as an aparadha. He forgave Brahma. So there are many more things we could cover. I'll stop here. And I'll take any questions you might have. I mean, there are so many questions that come to mind. Where was Balram, for example? Do we know where was Balram? Where was he? He was not there in this Leela. He wasn't stolen by Brahma. Where was he? It was his birthday. He was home. Yeah. And yes.
You said that earlier. The boys and cows that Brahma took were Maya.
Correct. And simultaneously, Krishna made the real ones disappear by his yoga maya.
And then one jewel with Krishna, that's another set, that's Krishna.
That's Krishna, who became Krishna, is Krishna's Krishna himself. The expansions of the Vishnu, four-handed form, correct.
And those are the ones who for 1 year.
Correct. Yes, yes, yes. And in fact, it is said by the acharyas that is the very reason why Krishna forgave Brahma. Because although Brahma's intention was to test Krishna, he facilitated the pastime of Krishna being with the gopis and gopas, and so Krishna became so pleased he forgave. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, because factually Krishna was separated from his cowherd boyfriends. You know, he was staying away from them for a whole year, and because of that, there was Leela Skhalanam is a big offense. It's a huge offense. Even when we look at Vaishnavas, sometimes we don't understand. Somebody is standing in front of the deities and praying, and we say, Hare Krishna, move. But we don't know what the person is actually praying. And if it is a pure devotee, well, I'm just saying, in case if it's a pure devotee, then that would be a Leela Skhalanam. That's a huge aparadha. Krishna doesn't forgive. He becomes intolerant. And in fact, do you know why Krishna did not even reveal to Balaram that these were not real cowherd boys? What was the reason? Yes, Prabhu?
He didn't want Balaram to feel separation.
Yes. He didn't want even Balaram to feel separation from Shridham and others, his friends. And hence, through his yoga maya, he bewildered even Balaramji. And he had to do all this because Brahma separated. He separated his cowherd friends from him. Yes, someone else? Yeah.
How, if Brahma is under the yoga maya, I guess it's applied to many other people,
he is not under Yogamaya. He is bewildered by the Yogamaya of the Lord. You see, very good question. So the bewilderment, for example, when an ordinary person thinks that Krishna with Mother Yashoda is an ordinary boy, it is the Yogamaya Leela that bewilders the person. He may be under Mahamaya, and Brahmaji is himself in constant association of which energy? Which guna? Rajaguna, because he is a creator. So great question. So if you go to the third canto, you see that Brahmaji is creating various beings. And he creates dharma at some point, and then he creates adharma. And after creating adharma, he is associated with adharma. What is the next thing he creates? His daughter, Vak or Saraswati. And then what does he do? He runs after her because he wants to be with her. He wants to get married to her. And only his sons, Marichi and others, are thinking, oh, what are you doing, father? It is not befitting you. And they remind him not to do it. Now, in that commentary, Veer Raghavacharya and others, they are commenting that Brahma, although he had received a boon, that he will not be bewildered, he still got bewildered. How is that possible? So the answer is because of his constant association of adharma. So when we constantly associate with a certain mode, you know, we have Janmashtami coming up. People do so many services. Now, we got to be mindful that once we become constantly, you know, you're in management, you're doing car park seva, for example. You could be in a constant, you know, tussle with making sure everything's in line, and you can get into that mode. It's natural. So Brahma is, he's not beyond the modes. He is a constant association of Rajaguna. So he was not under Yogamaya. He was not under Yogamaya. It was the Yogamaya exchange between the cowherd boys and Bhagwan that bewildered him. It was the Leela Shakti of the Lord which he could not comprehend and understand. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these are slightly different things. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah.
How does the storyline work with chapter 14? Lord Brahma repenting for what?
No, it's not 11 to 13, it's 12, 13, 14. Yeah. Because the last verse of the 11th chapter and the last verse of the 14th chapter is the same. So there. Contention is, if you were to delete these three chapters, there would still be continuity. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Ru. Stolen by Brahma. Yeah. Yes. Stole the original boys. So three things happening. Very good question. So Krishna the Sanatana Goswami says they were put to sleep by the Yogamaya potency of the Lord outside of Vraja. Sanatana Goswami is answering that question. So it's beautiful. We should study these commentaries. We got all the answers. And Srila Prabhupada's commentaries especially. Any questions from Mataji's? No? Okay. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai, gaur premanandi hari bol.